And welcome back. You can feel the enthusiasm building for bringing Major League Soccer to St. Louis. The departure of the Rams has opened the door, and there are plenty of soccer fans ready to walk through it. St. Louis will have blue ribbon representation at an international TED Talk simulcast emanating from Vancouver, Canada, tomorrow. It'll be streamed to select locations around the world. St. Louis is one of those locations, and St. Louis soccer aficionados will be participating. The TED theme this year is Dream, and the dream of St. Louis participants is to bring MLS soccer to St. Louis. With me to talk about the TED event and the prospect for MLS soccer here are Lori Kolupny, former Olympic gold medalist and USA World Cup champion, whom many consider to be one of the best female soccer players ever. You can smile about that, Lori, if you like. Yes.
And it's accurate, Don.
Yeah, well, I've heard it many, many times. She is an assistant coach at Maryville University, by the way, and is the designated 2018 head coach there. Congratulations on that, Lori.
Thank you.
And the man known here as Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, is a 1970 SLU alumnus, that is, who helped SLU's soccer team win national championships in 1967 and 69. He's a member of the St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame and the longtime public address announcer for St. Louis University soccer team. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Sure, Don.
Bill, as mentioned just as you were coming into the studio here, the momentum really is building. I'm sure you're excited about that.
Very much so. And everybody's tired of me talking about it, me in particular, because I've been talking about it since 1970 when I first came back from the World Cup in Mexico. We got to have this in St. Louis. We got to have this. And we did it that particular time in NASL. But now fast forward to 1996, NASL is long gone, MLS starts, and it has really, more so than ever in the past, captured the imagination of the sporting American public. It's a sport for a new America because of the digital era, youth watching it. It's driven by television that televises games from literally all over the world, and now it's come home to St. Louis. We're only missing one thing. That is an owner, investor, operator to put up the huge sum of money to get into MLS.
But, Bill, we've just gone through that with the Rams. I think people might have a certain degree of fatigue over this sort of thing.
I think fatigue is putting it politely. They certainly don't want any part of public money going to anything. I don't think there's a taste for that at all. So, consequently, the investor, owner, operator is going to have to be very comfortable. For all intents and purposes, the days of being a millionaire in MLS are over. You do have to be a billionaire to accommodate the huge financial uptake at the very outset. So literally, we'll have to wait and see. But as you just mentioned a moment ago, it's more prominent now in conversations than ever before, in particular because the league has approached St. Louis saying, we want you.
Lori, are you optimistic that this is going to happen?
Yeah, I think St. Louis would be a fantastic market. I mean, you know, we talk about St. Louis being the birthplace of soccer in the United States. You know, that's kind of what I grew up with. Fortunately, I was, you know, this is a soccer town. There are so many young players out there, and the only thing we're missing is a team. And I think without any doubt, the fans would support a team here. I think it would be a really good thing for the city.
But have we been down that road before with regard to professional soccer, indoor soccer, all the rest of it? Nothing seemed to have quite taken.
Well, I think there's an opening now. I think there's an opening for fans. We've got great Cardinals fans, great Blues fans, and the city supports their teams. And you know, I think the MLS has taken off more than other leagues in the past. And I think it's a great brand of soccer and something that the city would get behind.
I want to put this question to you after I put it to Bill here with regard to soccer taking off. This is my opinion. Mm-hmm. My opinion is that there's a new enthusiasm for soccer in this country because of people like Lori and women's soccer in particular. The women's team, the World Cup team, really ignited a lot of enthusiasm in this country that has been absent before with regard to men's soccer.
I can't agree with you more. You're 100% accurate. And it started with, well, in actuality, it started when the United States women's national team won the World Cup in 1991, mm-hmm. which was a big rumor at the time. No one even knew it at the particular time. One of the women on the team, Julie Foudy, told me then when they came back to the United States and they were met by people in New York City, there was 10, 11 people. That's long over. Not so much just this last World Cup on which Lori was present, but the 1999 Women's World Cup really captured the imagination of the American sporting public for numerous reasons, in particular because they played in huge venues in the United States. The World Cup final was played at the Rose Bowl in front of 90,000 people, the largest sporting event in the history of women's sports, and it continues just because of that. The main reason, Don, that they capture the imagination, the women's national team captures the imagination, they are so good at what they do, and they win on a regular basis. Americans want winners, especially from their national teams.
What's your take on this, Laurie? Do you feel, as a female soccer player, that even with all the success that you've had personally and with your teams, that you're kind of second-class citizens in the sport?
You know, that's a tough question. I think the sport has grown so much over the past couple years. I mean, when I started on the national team, 10 years ago, to the support and the amount of, money coming in, fan support, everything that we get now, the sport has grown a lot. We have a long way to go. But I think that there's definitely a positive outlook.
Do you share my opinion that women's soccer has really ignited the current enthusiasm for soccer in this country?
I do. This past summer was unbelievable, the amount of support we got from fans back here in the United States, especially in the Midwest markets, St. Louis and Kansas City, the top two television markets for this past summer's World Cup. So, you know, St. Louis is right up there with these crazy soccer fans.
What's your take on the turf versus natural grass issue? Women tend to play on turf, as I understand it, and men don't.
Yeah, it's become kind of a talking point lately. The World Cup this past summer was played on turf, which is, not ideal. I think any soccer player wants to play on grass. But we've got to deal with what we get. So, I think putting out good grass fields is costly. And I think sometimes a turf field can be a simple solution.
Back to a money issue again, Bill.
That's... She's being very polite.
Yeah.
Soccer is meant to be played on grass fields. Yeah. And the Women's World Cup, there were quite a few vocal opponents, some of whom were Laurie's teammates. But in essence, the United States did adapt to it, and adapted to it very well. They had to play 7 games in 28 days. No dramatically serious injuries that I recall, Laurie, but that's a huge grind on your body. The players from St. Louis FC will tell you, the team that's the USL team, the pro team in St. Louis, that's in its second year, beginning, by the way, their second year of training today, as a matter of fact, for the second season, to train and then play on artificial surface really takes a toll on your body.
Can you just address that a little bit more, Laurie? I mean, you've had personal experience with this. What is the difference?
Yeah, I mean, the grass surface is just softer when you slide. You don't get, turf burns. Turf is not ideal. It does take quite a toll on the body. It's just harder on the joints. It's harder on your knees and your ankles. Falling on it, you get these little black beads everywhere, and it does wear on you a little bit.
Why do you think it is that the rest of the world has embraced soccer as a national sport almost everywhere, but in the United States it lags far behind?
Well, soccer is the sport over in England, over in Europe.
Yeah, sure.
That's what they do. We've got other sports. We've got baseball, football, hockey that kind of take some of the attention. But the world sport is soccer, and I think that's starting to come over here to the U.S., and people are starting to really appreciate the sport and get behind it.
What are your thoughts on that, Bill?
The world's game, the most all-inclusive game, the one real, true champion, world champion, is soccer. It is totally ingrained in every country around the world. It is getting to be more so in the United States. I don't think it's ever going to be totally in our culture like it is in Brazil, Italy, Germany, things of that nature. However, it is gaining a stronghold. And in particular in St. Louis, the two pillars of sports in St. Louis are baseball and soccer. Now, everybody goes, here's McDermott again talking about soccer. Just look at the numbers. It started back in 1875, and through the CYC program, now the National Select programs, the Academy programs, everybody identifies with the sport of soccer simply because it caters to the masses. It's a sport for a new America. I said that earlier, and that's what MLS caters to in great capacity, as does the NWSL. It's all-inclusive. By that, I mean any denomination, any size, any race, at anything whatsoever, you're capable of playing for a national team, for your country, or your club. It's everyone's welcome.
Sounds like you've read Dave Lang's book. Or maybe you wrote it.
No, I wrote the foreword for it. But I know. Interesting thing about Dave Lang's book in that many people had approached me about getting involved writing a history of St. Louis soccer. I am not a writer. Let's make that abundantly clear, I would tell them. Can you help me with the book? I will be more than glad to. Dave was the only person who saw this from A to Z, spent 2 years in the process on it, and did a magnificent job. No team, no player, the proverbial no stone was left unturned. He did a remarkable job.
He was a guest on this program earlier this month, and he surprised me. And Lori, maybe you want to address this, because you mentioned it a moment ago, that St. Louis at one time was considered the soccer capital of the country. That surprised me to hear that.
Yeah, and Mr. McDermott, you can probably get in the history.
He still calls me Mr. McDermott.
He'll be Mr. McDermott to me forever.
A lot of respect for an older gentleman.
St. Louis, they call it the birthplace of soccer in the United States. And on the what was the World Cup team? The
1950 World Cup team.
1950 World Cup team. We had many, many players.
That was the big surprise in soccer at that year, wasn't it?
Still to date, Don, yeah. In the history of the World Cup, which dates back to 1930, certainly one of the most astounding upsets in the history of the event. It's June 29th, 1950, Belo Horizonte Stadium, Mineiro Stadium. There's 10,171 people. There are five St. Louisans in the first 11. Long story short, they emerged from the game with a 1-0 victory, beating England, the inventors of the sport, with literally part-time players. In answer to what you had just asked, Lori, yes, St. Louis used to be the soccer capital of the United States. That was due in large part to two teams, I think. I should preface it by saying two teams, Cudas and St. Louis University, who at the time when soccer in our country was just getting somewhat of a foothold, a marginal foothold. But those two teams kept St. Louis really, really as being prime movers of the sport. And since then, so many teams, one of which Lori played for, JB Marine, the women's game has really elevated the overall awareness of the sport as well.
We mentioned Dave Lang a moment ago. I should mention the name of his book. For people who didn't catch the program last week, Soccer Made in St. Mm-hmm. Louis is the name of the book. Right. I have a caller here that I'd like to take. It's Art calling from St. Louis. This is an issue that I've wondered about, and I guess Art does too. Art, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Don. You know.
Hello.
Yes, Don.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, our high school had the gymnastic championships in St. Louis for 17 straight continuous years. And I guess I watched the soccer players at the parochial school back in the 50s. And I'm just wondering whether or not, since both gymnastics, which was pretty dominant, was more European-oriented and before the Soviets ever started to star, I'm just wondering, does the American culture more or less say, well, we've got to have baseball. We can't have a European sport dominate. And Jerry Miller and Chris Wierstein, I think, are the only homegrown stars in the soccer field at coaches and so forth out of Heine Miney Field. And I'm just wondering whether or not that was really the impetus or the, the nucleus for the growing our own city boys into soccer stars.
All right. Thanks for the call, Art. Bill, we'll throw that your way.
Well, this gentleman's obviously seen quite a bit of soccer, if indeed he even references Heine Miney and Jerry Miller and Chris Wierstein. But in answer to the first part of his question, yes, St. Louis soccer used to be in the background, used to be at the exclusion of other sports, the other professional sports, baseball in particular, football, basketball, whatever. but it has continued to gain momentum. And in particular, it has done that because of the success of the many teams that have gone to win national championships from St. Louis. It's terribly difficult now because of the rise of the popularity of the sport, and everyone plays in every city, to win national championships at a club level. In intercollegiate soccer, it's terribly difficult to win a national championship. But those earlier years to which the gentleman referenced, yes, those were the years, those were the formative years that it did indeed put St. Louis on a soccer map. Heine Miney, Fairgrounds, Forest Park, Crenellet Park, Kudus, Crenellet Sunday Morning Club, the Kickers, St. Ambrose, White Star, teams like that. They all did their part to making what it is now.
Laura, you went to Nearings Hall, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. A Catholic school.
Yes.
And what I thought Art was going to get to was the fact that this is an immensely popular sport in Catholic schools as opposed to some others, and I'm wondering why.
You know, that's a good question. I think, you know, a lot of people start playing in CYC, yeah, which, you know, is a great program, getting young kids involved in the sport. And I think that's probably where it starts. But, I had a great time at Nearings Hall, really amazing school, and did so much for my development.
What about your life now? What is it like stepping down from the big stage? I mean, you were on it for a fairly long time, and now you're kind of stepping back into a very worthwhile profession, I'm sure, coaching young women. What's life like now for you?
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's just been a couple months now since I've announced my retirement and coaching over at Maryville University. You know, I feel so fortunate to have been able to step away on my own terms. I think that makes a huge difference. And, you know, not many people get to do that, honestly, after playing soccer so many years, to be able to step away, not due to injury or anything else. And so I really leave the sport with such a great attitude. I love the game. I'll always love the game. But, you know, I'm ready for something else. And I'll never be far from the soccer field. Coaching has been a great transition. And I love sharing my passion and sharing the sport with the youth.
It would seem to me that you would have to stay in the game one way or another after your career.
Yeah, it's been too long. It's been too big of a part of me to just step away, and I've really enjoyed coaching a lot.
What's it going to be like when you're watching the Olympics and the next World Cup?
It'll be awesome. I feel so confident about where the team is at right now. We've had a lot of retirements, but you know, the World Cup roster is 23, the Olympic roster is 18, so we've got to make some cuts already. So the team is looking really good. We're ranked number one in the world, and we've got some youth kind of coming through the ranks that are really stepping into big roles in the team. It'll be an exciting Olympics.
Bill, let me come back to you with regard to the Catholic school involvement in the game here. I mean, why do you think it's so pronounced in Catholic schools as opposed to others?
And the answer to that, from my viewpoint, is very short, Don. I would not be here talking about the sport. I would have no involvement in the sport. I wouldn't have got my college education paid for at St. Louis University because I could kick a soccer ball if it wasn't for St. Philip Neri, the parish I grew up in, Wallen Park in North St. Louis. And when I was born in 1948, started playing when I was 5, 6 years old, and that's how I began to get involved in the sport. Pure and simple, the CYC, Monsignor Lloyd Sullivan, Monsignor Lewis Meyer, people like that who always wanted us. They wanted us. They made it imperative that they wanted us to grow up playing in the shadows of the church. And literally, that's what we did at St. Philip Neri. The schoolyard was immediately adjacent to the church to such an extent on Saturday afternoon, Monsignor Kennedy would have to come out and say, stop hitting the ball off the church wall. I'm trying to hear confessions.
Well, I'm sure you listened to the priest when
yes,
he gave you an order like that. Mm-hmm. Let's take another call. Jeff joins us from St. Louis. Jeff, thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on. I wanted to touch on a point that Bill talked about earlier, particularly St. Louis FC. Now, a lot of people will consider that to be a professional soccer team, and it's got a very big following here in St. Louis already. We've had Don Garber, who's the commissioner of MLS, come into the St. Louis area and say the best way to support professional soccer in St. Louis and to get an MLS team is to support St. Louis FC. But yet, I really see so very little about talking of the team and its presence and its success, really, in the media here in St. Louis. Why do you think that is?
Thanks for the call, Bill.
I think maybe because it may be perceived as a third division, which indeed it is, MLS, NASL, USL, and it's only in its second year. After its first year, it gained a lot of notoriety, in particular because they drew over 4,000 fans. They averaged over 4,000 fans. They had crowds of 4,500, approaching 48 on five or six different occasions. For their first year in the league, they ended up fourth overall of all the teams in the league, including all the expansion teams and existing teams. So it will take a while. Because of what you said about 15 minutes ago, Don, haven't we seen this before, and it really hasn't caught hold? Mm-hmm. This has, and what Don Garber's emphasizing there is we want to see if there is indeed an avid fan base to support MLS to the tune of 18,500. If there isn't people coming out to the soccer park at the tune of 4,800 to 5,200, well, I think we have our answer. But in reverse, he is seeing that people come out to patronize St. Louis FC.
Would you envision the MLS, if it does happen here, absorbing some of these other teams here and elsewhere?
Most probably St. Louis FC would become the farm system, if you will, of St. Louis whatever, because St. Louis FC right now is a direct affiliate to the Chicago Fire in MLS. That would obviously change. If you have an MLS team in your city, the team that's in USL would become part of your MLS team.
All right. We have a question here from Sean, who tweets, when can we see the return of the Bronze Boot match? I don't know what the Bronze Boot match is.
The Bronze Boot game. Indeed, I do. The Bronze Boot game began, oh boy, in essence, my senior year at St. Louis University. The Bronze Boot game was fashioned by Bob Gelker and Joe Carenza and Monsignor Lewis Meyer, and it was a competition between SIU Edwardsville and St. Louis University when, on a regular basis, and I'm sure even Laurie recalls this, they were 1 and 2 ranked in the country. And that used to be on a fairly regular basis, as I said, it used to be 2-3 years in a row. There were crowds of 23,000 people at Busch Stadium when St. Louis U played SIU, and Denny Long as well when he was president of Anheuser-Busch, actively involved as a sponsor and actively involved getting halftime acts, post-game acts. But it became an overall family atmosphere to watch the Bronze Boot game. In answer to this gentleman's question, I have no idea. Mike McGinty, the head coach at St. Louis University, and Kevin Kalish, when he was coach at SIU Edwardsville, they had talks. Nothing ever became of it.
Laurie, do you have the same kind of enthusiasm that your partner over here does? He clearly gets worked up and gets enthusiastic.
They don't call him Mr. Soccer for nothing.
Let's talk in the time we have left about the event, the TED event that's happening tomorrow. Explain, Bill, exactly what that is and how it's formatted.
Well, the TED event, you mentioned when we first came on the air, Don, the annual meeting is in Vancouver. We will pick that up. That goes actually from 2 to 6:30 tomorrow. And what St. Louis, it's a TEDx event for St. Louis, which is a derivation of the TED Talks. And the theme, the overall theme this year, is to dream. The first part of our evening will be the dream of playing at the pinnacle, representing our country. So consequently, Laurie Kolumbny will be there. Taylor Twellman, now an ESPN broadcaster. Al Trost, a former captain of the United States national team. And the aforementioned Dave Lang, who wrote the book about the history of St. Louis soccer. We will then have a break from 7:30 to 7:45, where Eloy Hoisington, the lead architect on the stadium, which was going to be on the riverfront for the NFL, he will show us how that could be transformed into an MLS soccer-specific venue. And then the dream of MLS coming to St. Louis is the second part of the evening.
This is all going to be happening at Knight Hall over at Washington University.
Yes,
we'll
sir.
Have information on that on our website. Okay. Folks can learn more about it. There's also an event at 6 a.m. the following day. Are you involved in that at all?
At 6 a.m., Don?
Yeah, right.
No.
Laurie, will you be there at 6 a.m.?
No.
Let me answer for Laurie. No.
For the record, I won't be there either. I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Bill McDermott, great to see you again, Mr. Soccer. Laurie Kolumbny, congratulations belated to all your success.
Thank you.
And I know you'll have more as coach of the soccer team.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll get former Ferguson PR representative Devin James' account of what happened behind the scenes after the shooting death of Michael Brown. He's written a new book about that experience. And we'll hear Nancy Fowler's conversation with Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Ayad Akhtar about Disgraced, which is now showing at the Rep. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.